The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 65 of Wealth Talk. My name is Christian Rodwell, the membership director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by Mr. Kevin Wheeler, our founder.
Hello, Chris. How are you this morning?
Very good. Thank you, Kevin. Good to be catching up with you again and back with another episode this week. And this week, we're looking at a topic, which is crowdfunding and specifically crowdfunding around property. But if you don't mind, Kevin, talk about crowdfunding and the popularity and maybe some of the reasons why it's grown in popularity over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a number of factors that have conspired together really to give the whole concept of crowdfunding. The concept is born out of some basic, you know, economic realities that when you get a love affair with property like you have in the UK, you know, you've got a huge desire for people to want to invest in property, which is where Mike will talk at length about, and you've got the idea of people wanting to be more connected to their investment rather than the sort of disconnection that often appears when people simply invest in the market. And so the whole concept of not just crowdfunding for property, but crowdfunding generally has been born out of, you know, the use of technology, the ability for marketing messages to get out there so people can identify with what they want, and that burgeoning of the technology, plus people choosing what they want to see their money investing in rather than just some homogenous market. They get to be very specific about what they like and what they don't like. I think it's completely changed the way investments are done, Chris, and I think you'll hear in Mike's voice the enthusiasm that he has for the subject matter.
So, Kevin, what's your association with Mike?
Oh, Mike is, you know, a great guy, as you'll tell. And he was connected to me via my good friend and property expert and really somebody who I resonate with very, very fully, Simon Zucci. So Simon Zucci is the founder of the crowd property business. And Mike is the CEO. And Mike's done a sterling job in really giving that the full-on energy that business needed. And as you'll hear from Mike, you know, it's done incredible things. And again, we resonate with what they do. And I'll talk about why after we've had a chance to listen to him.
Okay, let's head on over to our conversation with Mike Bristow. Mike, welcome to Wealth Talk today.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, very good. So Mike, for those listeners who perhaps have not heard of crowd property and don't know your story, would you mind just giving us a bit of background, please?
Sure, certainly. Well, we set up crowd property actually in 2013, and we've been lending since 2014. What we set out to do as a business is set up a marketplace that serves two big pains in the marketplace. Firstly, property developers really struggled with traditional sources of funding for their property projects. Mainstream financial services went much more commoditized and walked away, especially from small and medium-sized developers doing property projects. Okay, so we said, knowing that ourselves and experiencing ourselves, we'll build the best lender in the market and attract the best projects to apply for funding from us, and we'll provide a brilliant service for that. And then we sort of thought about, well, where does that capital come from? Okay. And so we looked at the peer-to-peer lending model, crowdfunding model, to say, okay, well, potentially we could, once finding great projects, we could invite people to participate in it. Okay. And so rather than individuals, say, you know, going to their IFA and then going to putting money into a fund, then that fund breaking it into a dedicated property fund, and that property fund finding a broker, and that broker finding some property developers, all of which have cost and profit, what we'll do is build a more efficient system to get those individuals that participate a better share of the returns. And so what we work very, very hard on doing is A, the quality of the property projects we find and the curation of that and the due diligence of that. And we'll probably touch upon that. But match the capital is technically matching the supply and demand of capital as efficiently as possible. And that means that of the average, that's a very, very simple terms, a borrower might pay 10% interest rate. Okay, well, we give the lenders, the investors on the platform, 8%. Okay, so they're getting a much better deal, a much better share of those returns, because we've disintermediated the whole system, we've matched it more efficiently, we've got purpose-built systems. And that's great for property developers with a far better service and investors with a greater share of those returns, backed by all of our due diligence and the security we've put behind it, etc.
Yeah.
I was probably smaller than you asked for in the introduction.
No, that's fantastic. And I know it's, you know, been hugely successful since launch. So, you know, give us an idea, Mike, of you know, the number of deals and some of the figures that have been achieved so far.
Sure. So literally this week, we've just gone through a few landmarks. So firstly, we've now funded the building of 1,000 homes in the UK. Which we think is a great outcome. And not only are we helping housing undersupply and the housing crisis in this market by getting finance out quicker and better, okay, but right now what's really important is that is actually spend in the UK economy on labor, on materials, on services in building and construction. And hey, we need that as a country right now. We need to be building. Yeah, 1,000 homes. They have worth a total of £170 million. We've now lent over £75 million. We've been lending since 2014. We've got 100% capital and interest payback track record. And lending for 6 years into the property development space, nobody else in the UK market has that track record. And that's including, you know, banks and non-bank lenders, etc. So we do it really, really well. And we've got over 10,000 investors on our platform. And you put all of that together and it's quite exciting, because our last 20 projects actually during lockdown have all sold out in under a minute. And I think our average is now 41 seconds over the last 20 projects since lockdown. Mm. So we've been out there funding in the market when the whole development finance sector has packed up, because they've got very concentrated institutional source of capital. We have institutional source of capital as well on our platform. We've got a very diverse mix that means we can be reliable backers of property projects through any market in a very prudent way. So all of that, you know, they're getting to quite interesting numbers, but I mean, it's just the start. We see huge growth trajectory on top of the platform we've built, the scalable business that we've built, and all of the tech infrastructure, data analytics, and our brilliant team. We know that we could be doing 10 times that lending in just a few years.
Mm. Yeah, I want to pick up on that then, Mike. You know, really, I guess looking at the sort of fundamentals of a business here, in that you talk there about systems using technology and teams. So you're really leveraging to be able to scale now. But initially, you have to identify a problem, don't you? You have to identify a need and that there's a hungry market. And that's obviously, the timing was great back when you launched. And I guess, how have you seen the technology advance even in that space of time, you know, since 2013-14? How has it helped you to kind of grow and adapt and keep evolving?
Yeah, great question. So you're right. The best way that businesses start is when the founders experience the pain themselves and they have clarity of vision of what the better solution is. And that's exactly what we had. So at the start, you know, we listed, so I'll talk a little bit about both the borrower and the lender side. We listed our first project in 2014 and it took 10 weeks to fund on our platform. That wasn't very helpful to anyone, but you've got to start somewhere. Okay. And in with that first project, you know, we hadn't built out all of our technology. So some of that was, you know, the back end was, right, you know, lists of investors in spreadsheets and transferring funds, you know, in and out of our client account, obviously client account, but manual transfers. And quite a rudimentary platform where we'd get notifications of people wanting to participate in a project, right? But over time, I mean, yeah, we've got a team of 32. A third of that team is are tech engineers. And we have built in-house a brilliant, brilliant technology platform. Okay, and it's really important that it's not only in-house, as in they are employees of the business, but they're not employees of the business in Ukraine or something. That, you know, they're in our office. Okay, and that absolute control over the technology, okay, underpins, you know, how we serve our customers best. Okay, and this market, especially on the borrower side, so property developers are wanting to raise funding for their projects. You know, the banks had entirely forgotten that there's a customer, and the customer has needs. And if you serve those needs well, they come back and they tell their friends, and you grow. It really was just a forgotten market. And that's what we build. So customer centric in everything we do. We do a load of research on customer needs, on their feedback, on their priorities. And that's both borrower side and lender side. On the borrower side, we also have our own expertise and experience in having been in borrower's shoes, of what are the kind of things that they'll want to build. But on the lender side, for example, you know, we've done things when projects started selling out in seconds a year and a half ago or something. We got complaints. I mean, even my mother complained that she couldn't get into projects because she couldn't type quick enough to get everything in. You know, we get a lot of complaints of frustration around that. So overnight, you know, because our tech team is here and it's awesome and they're awesome. I sort of went out and bought the common currency of the tech developer, which is pizza, and we sat here overnight and we just built pledge limits into our tech system and rolled them out overnight, okay, to enable people the next day to get into projects. So we listened and we adapted and we delivered delivered quickly.
Yeah.
So, and then you extrapolate that over everything that we've built and everything we've built into our proprietary systems. You know, something like the auto-invest algorithm that we've got is incredible. It's so complex, and it delivers such meaningful value to investors who don't want to necessarily pick individual projects. They say, well, wait a minute, Crowd Property are listing this project. They've seen £3 billion worth of projects, and they've only ever funded 75 million. They put a great amount of scrutiny onto it. So what I want to do is actually spread my investment over lots of projects, but I don't want to always log in at 10 a.m. and have the try and buy Glastonbury tickets bun fight. So we delivered that for lenders as well, that enables people to spread across a load of projects in a stress-free and easy way. And diversification is a very good and important investment strategy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So good use there, obviously, of leveraging technology and the team. Very important. I think we always talk at Wealth Builders about education, support, connection. And I think often when people are investing, they're not necessarily very connected to the investment. So I guess that's you know, one of the differences is that people really see the projects, they get to understand the people behind them as well.
Very much so. It's really important. Property is a people business. Well, everything is a people business, yeah, but people forget it. You know, you can over-tech things. What you want is tech to be a brilliant enabler of then exceptional service. And that exceptional service is, for example, on the lender side, face-to-face, you know, people can actually phone up and speak to humans in our business. It's a bizarre concept in modern day financial services. And equally, borrowers, we speak to them a lot, and our human expertise in the business around property is really important because we can add value to those projects through the process. So, you know, those elements are just critically important to building a well-rounded customer-facing proposition. But you're right. One of the great things about property, okay, is that everyone has a view on property. Okay. You know, it's a national passion in many ways. And that's why for years we only had, until things started selling out very, very quickly, we only had the option for people to log on and actually actively select projects. Okay, I like that one. I don't like that one as much. And the reasons for that can be multifold. They could be in the detail of the numbers. They could be in the planning consent. It could be in the pictures. It could be in the end product or the market it's being built in. But people have a view and they like to engage in that. Mm. Okay. And then we saw the pattern on the platform in our customer base that was, well, some people would actively select and would go in, you know, that one, not that one, that one, not that one. Some were just logging in and pledging across all of them to diversify, maximize. And that's when we introduced auto invest again, because we could spot that customer need, that customer demand, so developed it for that.
Yeah. So, Mike, you're well aware of the Wealth Builders seven pillars model, and we talk about generating recurring income from as many of those pillars as possible. And I think many of them kind of cross over with crowd property. And one of those, of course, is pensions. And many of our listeners will be clients of crowd property, I know, and perhaps they may be using their pension. So could you just explain for people how that works?
Yeah. So the best example, and the most flexible type, obviously, is the SaaS pension, which and we've got millions of pounds worth of pension money capital on our platform. Okay. And when we understand, well, what's the customer driver behind that? Is that they say, right, I've got a pension pot, I've got great discretion under the SaaS structure, which makes it so, you know, such a brilliant product. And they look at it and say, right, okay, I might put some quite speculative high risk. I might work with some, you know, for example, some property developers, or I might, you know, directly, and I might do some equity investments or whatever. But if you think of a spectrum of risk, especially given returns, what we see is large proportions of people's SaaS pensions. They turn to us and say, look, what I really want, okay, I like property, I like residential property. You have a way, your platform can enable my SaaS pension to invest in residential property projects. And I want to diversify that. And I also want to outsource all the effort of selection. Okay, and this is really important because I mentioned earlier, we've seen £3 billion worth of applications and we've funded 75 million. Okay, we are very, very critical on projects and we pick the best ones. Okay, and we do that with our brilliant team, our tech, our analytics, our data learning, and all of the amazing things we've built into our system so that you don't have to. And so you can be assured that relative to billions of pounds of project, anything we list is right at the top of quality level. And so people love that. Okay, firstly. Secondly, there's then the important point of capital preservation. Okay, and we see that as a major need or requirement, certainly people with larger pension pots. And all of our lending on the platform is first charge secured at modest loan to value rates. And if I go a little bit further than that, okay, we actively select projects that serve that where the air product will be for domestic undersupplied housing, okay, in liquid markets at mainstream price points. So our average pounds per square foot exit price is £290, mainstream stuff. It's not, you know, crazy sort of, you know, sort of prime central London, you know, so sensitive to foreign exchange rates. No, it's undersupplied domestic demand that will sell and have enduring demand. Okay. So that's the capital preservation side. And then there's the, well, getting better returns. And, you know, as I said earlier, the important thing is you get a bigger share of the return, you know, because we've built the efficient system. and you get a better proportion. Okay, and those elements together make this a really powerful product for SaaS pensions. And just adding finally to that, one of the final developments of our auto-invest algorithm was actually working with pension administrators to make sure that we could structure the auto-invest pension product really, really well and appropriately given all the regulatory requirements of ring fencing, etc. So we now have auto-invest for pension and auto-reinvest for pension. And what that means is that you could put money into a pot and relatively passively that will be diversified across, or completely passively, diversified across many projects. And then when they pay back, they will be auto-reinvested into projects, compounding those returns. So actually, you can benefit from relatively easy, hands-off, stress-free rolling returns from many, many projects with good diversification principles.
Mm. Now, Mike, I'm going to put you on the spot maybe here, but we're obviously coming out of a difficult period at the start of 2020. You've been, you know, in there seeing really what's happening across the market. How do you see the next 6 to 12 months and what are the signs out there for investors?
So I can look at this from a few ways, and I talk quite a lot of this. So we and our analysts and myself personally as well get stuck right into the detail of the analytics around what we think about the market and forecasting things. I'm going to zoom, and rather than dwelling on GDP, I'm going to zoom a bit more into property and particularly residential property market. So I look at this in two ways. Firstly, is there a correction waiting to happen, or has there been a correction waiting to happen? Because we saw that in 89-90. We saw that in 08-09. Years of real growth, so inflation-adjusted growth, okay, years of growth that basically a shock then says, actually, let's correct those prices, right? Interestingly, in the current market, if you inflation adjust on an average basis across the UK, we're 17% below 07 prices right now when inflation adjusted. Okay, we're currently on average the same property prices as 2015, as 2010, and as 2004. Okay, so my view is there's not a load of growth that needs to be corrected and wiped out by a shock, which often happens. The second bit is then it's a supply and demand argument, and the big factor on the demand side will be about unemployment and how that plays out. But most importantly, this is different to 08-09, because in 08-09, loads and loads of people needed to sell. Some people need to sell in any market. Loads of people needed to sell. And then the banks went repossessing everything and needed to sell. So there's loads of supply into the market. And very few people could buy because the debt market caused the whole thing in the first place and was in disarray. In this market, it wasn't caused by financial institutions. And what we will see is lending come back into the market quicker. Those people that need to sell will still list. Those people that have discretion over timing will hold until that debt market comes back. So yes, we will see drops in prices reported. They'll be on low transaction volumes, but I see the market recovering to be fairly stable, you know, relatively quickly. Certainly not the 83 months it took to recover 08-09 in nominal prices. And the final point on that is that we're not going to see years of runaway capital growth ever again. Yeah, that happened for many, many different reasons, not least because of the just higher LTV levels and the debt market getting really, really competitive for investment mortgages. What I think we're going to see is much more reduced volatility and smoother capital growth. And that is what we're making sure we're putting product and funding product to the best and most liquid points and undersupply points in that market. So slightly complex answer to that, but that's sort of my view of how the residential property market will play out.
Great. No, it's very insightful. And before I let you go, Mike,
What does the future for crowd property look like?
I mean, the future is really exciting. Okay. And it's really exciting because we're going to do more and more and more of the same. Okay. Because what we're doing really works and is really in demand by both quality property professionals doing quality projects and by investors. And we have an absolute focus. I have a phrase that I often use is you don't see Tiger Woods playing much tennis. Okay. If you focus, you become world class. And our absolute clear focus is to be world class on the borrower side, world class on the lender side, put those two together and just do brilliantly by customers. Okay. Through any market. And on that basis, there's a huge future for crowd property, and I can see the business lending tenfold the amount that we're lending now.
I wish you all the best with that, Mike. Thank you very much for sharing with us on Wealth Talk today.
Thank you.
So like any great entrepreneur there, Kevin, we heard how Mike really spotted an opportunity back around 2013. And it's always about understanding your market. And obviously, Mike really did understand the property market and saw that, you know, people were facing challenges around funding, and that was obviously the birth of crowd property.
Yes, all good business ideas come from, you know, a recognition of something that's not right in the market. I mean, this is the essential skill, Chris, that we help people identify, don't we, in the wealth builder community. This idea that you can recognize what are the frustrations, we call them the key frustrations, that are happening inside an industry. And what can you do that just recognizes them and then creates an ethical but a logical solution? And I think Mike and his team have done an outstanding job in doing that. So let's just touch on that for a moment, Chris, from both sides of the fence. So on the one hand, you know, if you look at what was frustrating developers, it was getting access to ready supplies of cash with, you know, a single point of underwriting, and in a way that would really work. So, you know, there's nothing worse for a developer than the promise of money, the promise of funding, because their projects do not become reality. Homes do not get built unless they're funded. And there was challenges, you know, post 2008-09 in the credit crunch, and that problem hasn't really fundamentally changed. There's still challenges there. The second, if you think about it from an investor viewpoint, investors have become more switched on, they become more technologically friendly, and they look at opportunities. And if the only thing they ever saw was an investment in the stock market, and that was frustrating them, now they can invest in projects they can see, they can check them out on the crowd property platform, they can look at the due diligence to see what they've done. And let's not forget here, these are investments with first charge security. You know, first charge is the highest ranking charge you can get. In other words, if the developer fails to pay, crowd property have the legal ownership of that site or that development or that piece of property. And that's incredible security. So when you combine then great security and a return, and he's talking about returns of 8%, I mean, you can't get that with consistency in the stock market. So I think when you match them both together, you know, he called it, used a very long word, Chris. I don't know if you picked it up, but he called it disintermediation. Now, that sounds like a bit of a mouthful, doesn't it? But what it means is they've removed the need for all the layers of costs and charges that would normally exist in that situation and almost plugged the developer into the investor with them, a crowd property operating at the center in this kind of a hub. And do you remember how I talked to our property community, not our property community, our business community, Chris, and talked about the need for being able to sort of see a gateway, how you connect people. So it isn't always the service you offer. It's the fact that you recognize the problem between two groups and you make that connection. And that's what they've done so elegantly here at Crowd Property.
And we talk about the Wheel of Wealth, the five different stages, and due diligence came up with the conversation with Mike. Obviously, rigorous due diligence. We know how important that is when it comes to any kind of investments.
and no better diligence really than the security of a first legal charge. And I think, you know, they did mention how many property opportunities they look at and the number of cases that they accept. You know, that's pretty rigorous. You know, so I think investors can be reassured, at least as far as they can be, by checking that DD. Remember, you must check your own DD. You can't rely on anybody else's. That's important, as we know. However, you know, they do publish that DD and you can go and inspect that. So I think when you can combine those things, you know, an interesting investment with a decent return and visible and transparent DD, no wonder they're selling out pretty fast.
Yeah, and of course, the ability as well to invest using your pension. So, you know, leveraging multiple pillars here.
Exactly. And I think definitely both Mike and myself, we've identified that there's a massive connection between pension investment and investments in property. I mean, in the end, those people who have traditional pensions are really forced only to invest in the stock market. But with the massive growth, and I'm proud to be part of that leadership, of the concept of the SaaS pension, you know, the pension that gives directors the ability to own and control and drive or pilot their own pension and invest in what they want to. No wonder this is a very popular investment for our SaaS holders. And in fact, actually, Chris, Mike and I will be sharing a virtual stage soon. There's a conference, a national conference held online this year for SaaS Alliance. And there's going to be, I think there's possibly getting up towards 1,000 people registered for that. And when you get the opportunity for those people who are willing to take that control and good speakers talking about, you know, where you can invest and how you can invest and what due diligence you can do and how it's done, then, you know, that's going to be a great conference. And that's on the 2nd of July. And it's free to attend. So, you know, if you want to sign up for that, if you're interested in the concept of SaaS or you're interested in hearing more from the enthusiastic Mike Bristow, then tune into the SaaS Alliance conference at saasalliance.org, I think is the website, Chris. I'm sure you can put a link to that anyway.
Yeah, saasalliance.org. And yeah, we'll certainly link to that in today's show notes, as we will to our Facebook group for anyone who wants to connect with other like-minded people in the wealth building space, and can head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/Facebook and join us there.
Mm-hmm.
So do we have any final conclusions on crowdfunding, Kevin, and some of the advantages and why, you know, this is a great option for people?
Well, the other thing he mentioned is diversification. You know, diversification is a key skill and a key part of the whole wealth building process. As you know, we teach and advocate the importance of building wealth in multiple pillars. And just as you make investments, whether you make them personally, whether you make them from your SaaS, whether you make them from your business, it's important that you diversify. And while Crowd Property is a great example, you know, there are other crowd funding sites that allow investments to be made in a whole raft of different ideas, as well as property, there's business. So, you know, use this sort of, I guess, this podcast as a way to think about looking at crowd funding generally, and lots of reasons why people would want to plug investors directly into an opportunity, and go and look at those as well.
Been interesting as always, Kevin. Thank you for today. Thank you to everyone for listening, and we'll catch up on the next episode of Wealth Talk.
Okay, Chris, until next time. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.